This just in. A Jungle Cruise skipper reports spotting the lost safari near the African veldt.
Hello and thank you for joining us for episode 3 of The Backside of Water, a podcast that delves into the rich history, awesome stories, and fascinating details behind your favorite Disney attractions. I'm Alex Stewart.
And I'm Harrison Onby.
Harry, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh man, I'm so excited that I just almost blew the mic out saying how you doing.
Me too. I realized I was inches away from the mic and just red lines all over the place.
It was horrifying. It was like Chernobyl.
The Chernobyl of audio engineering.
Audio Chernobyl. I think that's actually an alt rock band.
Anyway,
let's talk about the episode.
Yeah. So with this episode, we're halfway through the first series where we focus on Adventureland. Today's episode covers the World Fungus. Fungus?
World Fungus?
It's beyond famous. It's Fungus. Today's episode covers the world famous Jungle Cruise.
Yay!
This attraction is near and dear to both of us. It's Al's favorite attraction. I love it too. It's actually the reason Al worked at Disneyland, and our podcast is named in honor of this attraction.
The backside of water is obviously a joke for those who have been on the Jungle Cruise that's used on the tour. But for those who haven't been on there, just ride the attraction. You'll be able to see the backside of water. But in this episode, we're going to cover the themed story of the Jungle Cruise and then delve into the history of the attraction.
And we'll close with some magical memories. The Jungle Cruise has actually shaped Al's life. And don't you want to stick around to hear why?
But first, I think we need to set the tone for this episode. Since the Jungle Cruise is full of zingers, puns, and one-liners, we're going to lead off with a homebrewed comedy segment called The Jungle Cruise Comedy Caper!
Before we start, though, we need proper introductions.
Ladies and gentlemen, he bombed stand-up comedy on not one but two open mic nights. He's occasionally funny just because he has no idea what's going on. Inventor of the dad joke, please welcome Harrison Onby.
Thank you, Alex. Hey, put your hands together for the man who gives mildly amusing wedding toasts, the man who used to be a Jungle Cruise skipper, the man whose mom laughs at fully a third of his wisecracks, Alex Stewart.
thank you. Hey, Harry, did you hear about the hippo that wasn't afraid of gunshots?
No, I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah, he just stared at the skipper with a blank expression.
Oof, that was awful. I feel like Trader Sam here. I can barely get ahead. Speaking of getting ahead, Al, you know about Trader Sam's deal, don't you?
Yeah, two of his heads for one of yours.
Nope, for $400 million he will sell you season one of Charles in Charge.
Wait, that's not a deal. And that's not even relevant to the Jungle Cruise.
It's funny, because it's true. It's observational comedy.
All right, let me see if I can get us back on track here. All right. So I consider myself a pretty fearless jungle explorer, but the other day I got the scare of my life. I got some mail, see?
Ooh, mail. I have chills.
Yeah, the return address is the African bull elephant's mother-in-law. So my hands are shaking. I'm not even worried that I'm in headhunter country anymore. That's how scary this woman is.
Wait a minute, Al. You think the headhunters want your lumpy head?
Hey, so I open the envelope and read the five most terrifying words a man could ever read. I'm visiting next week.
Oh my goodness, that is terrifying. Truly terrifying.
I'll tell you, I screamed so loud I nearly woke up the sleeping zebra. But hey, we're out of time. And anyway, this has been awful.
Well, maybe that wasn't too bad for a couple of dudes who learn all they know about comedy from A Prairie Home Companion.
And can I say that the blank expression joke makes no sense because we didn't even reference the fact that we used blanks in the pistols.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot.
Oh, shoot. I see what you did there.
At least we went out with a bang on that one.
Oh! Crack, crack, crack. Well, okay, maybe we can revolve to the next topic.
Oh my gosh, I'm feeling a little gun-shy, though.
Oh, man. Well, let's get a handle on it and move forward.
I feel like we're both of a certain caliber of humor here. I feel like we could go on forever and ever. That's the beauty of this episode.
You're just triggering so many ideas.
But I don't want to go off half-cocked. Oh, okay, so let's get this boat back on track.
And now on the left side of the boat, you will see the theme story of the attraction, folks. Don't put your hands out, it may bite.
For those of you unfamiliar with themed stories, those are the stories that the attraction is framed around. Oddly enough, I found another tape in my attic that sums up the theme story of the Jungle Cruise.
Now, I could be wrong, but I'm starting to think that Harry thinks the Disney Vault is his attic.
There it seems to be a lot of men in suits and ties up there. It's strange. Anyway, let's roll the clip.
Jungle Navigation Log, July 17th, 1938. The Jungle Navigation Company has been struggling for the past 4 years. If it weren't for that crate of malaria gnats and tonic brought in from London, the company may well have been sunk by now. After the hurricane took out one of the supporting beams on our boathouse, we thought we were finished, but our resourcefulness prevailed. We replaced the beam with a palm tree trunk, and things are starting to look up. The famous explorer Indiana Jones discovered some new forbidden temple that is causing a ruckus in the upper crust of civilized society. As a result of this discovery, tourism is booming here in the tropic regions. We have gone from importing tropical goods to guiding people through the jungle on their journey to visit the famous Temple of the Forbidden Eye. The skippers, even the more crusty of the bunch, have had to become more social and friendly as the tourists look to the crew to be jungle tour guides. Needless to say, this once nearly deserted outpost has become a bustling boathouse for the civilized elite, and we couldn't be more grateful. Signed, Trader Samuel J. Snodgrass, Head Salesman and Importer, Jungle Navigation Company.
Disney has built this story into the attraction, so next time you go on the Jungle Cruise or wait in the queue, look for facts or clues that fit in with this story. Heck, you can even send us your Instagram photos of these artifacts if you're in the park. We might even feature them in our own feed. Now that we know the theme story, let's tour the rich history of this classic attraction.
Great idea, Harry! The idea for the world-famous Jungle Cruise can be traced back to Walt Disney's True Life Adventure series. We cover the True Life Adventure series in our first episode, so if you're curious about what they are, just give a listen to our first episode entitled Adventureland. Now, Walt wanted to create an attraction where people could interact with the flora and fauna that the True Life Adventure series showcased. He tasked Harper Goth, whom we also talked about in our first episode, to create this True Life Adventure attraction. Goth, inspired by the film The African Queen starring Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn, decided that guests would explore the jungles of the world in a dilapidated river barge, just like Bogart and Hepburn did in the film. So he drew up the concept art for a jungle tour adventure. Walt loved the idea. With the concept in place, though, he needed a living jungle to set the stage for this awesome attraction. Now, keep in mind that creating this jungle in the middle of Southern California would not be easy, so Walt hired his plant guy, Bill Evans. Evans had to be creative while creating his jungle because very few actually exotic plants could survive in the California climate. Evans used what he called character plants, or plants that looked exotic but could survive in the climate they were planted in. And when he couldn't find the right kind of plants, he created them himself. Evans is famous for planting orange trees upside down, leaving the roots exposed, then growing vines on the roots. These exposed roots help give the attraction the jungle feel.
Walt Disney's original goal for the Jungle Cruise was to not only have guests tour a real jungle, but to also encounter many of the real animals they had seen on the True Life Adventure series. So Walt went to work gathering information on housing exotic animals. After talking to multiple animal trainers and experts, Walt realized that his dream of populating his jungle with real animals, while magical, was not practical. Many of the animals that he wanted on the ride were nocturnal, so the animals would likely be hiding or sleeping during park hours.
Now, eventually, you do plan to have dinosaurs on your dinosaur tour, right?
So Walt's team of Imagineers created a realistic cast of mechanical animals. As a side note, this idea of using real-life animals in an attraction was realized in 1998 when Kilimanjaro Safaris opened in Walt Disney World's Animal Kingdom. Kilimanjaro Safaris remains one of Animal Kingdom's most popular attractions. So, hey, Walt, your idea was good. Sincerely, Backside of Water. So now that the jungle was alive and vibrant with animals, there was another issue. Guests would be able to see the boat track and the mechanical parts of the water animals through the clear water, and this would ruin the realism of the ride. So, Imagineers used dye to make the water dark. Actually, they developed two water systems for Disneyland, dark and clear. Clear water would be for rides such as It's a Small World, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Splash Mountain, where water clarity wasn't an issue. But dark water would be used for attractions that needed a more realistic look.
So the Jungle Cruise finally looked like a real live jungle, teeming with plants, animals, and treacherous waterways. So on July 17, 1955, guests boarded the only two tour boats that were running at the time, the Ganges Gal and the Congo Queen. These boats were helmed by a fearless skipper who guided enthralled guests through the jungles of adventure that Walt, Harper Goff, and Bill Evans had tirelessly created. The original Jungle Cruise was considered an educational tour, actually, but there was still an element of humor.
My favorite line from a vintage 1956 clip of the Jungle Cruise is this.
And now, if you keep watching that far bank, you can say you had a nodding acquaintance with the giraffe.
The giraffe's nod.
The giraffe, however, won't be able to say a thing, for this is one animal that has no vocal cords.
I appreciate the realism in that joke. It's also been disproven, so don't go around repeating that because some zoological egghead might correct you. The skipper also shot the charging hippos right in the head in 1956. What can I say? It was a different era.
A little interesting fact is, for a while, they on the Jungle Cruise got rid of the guns altogether, but our best friend Michael Eisner was riding the jungle while he was still in charge over at the Disney Company, and said, "Where did the guns go? That was part of the fun." And so Michael Eisner is actually responsible for bringing the two shots back into the jungle.
Wow.
Well, yeah, fun little fact.
He didn't completely mess everything up then. I mean, oops.
Womp, 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 wow.
Hey, Al, could you ever get away with shooting a hippo in the head today on the Jungle Cruise? Don't worry, kids, I have this under control. Let me murder this giant animal right in front of your eyes.
We'll use it for meat.
Don't let this hippo eat your cigarettes, kids. Your T-zones need that smooth, minty flavor. Oh, the 50s.
Oh, better times. Better times. What happened?
I don't know.
Okay, can we get serious for a minute?
Maybe.
So legend says that the Jungle Cruise was one of the first attractions where Walt ported his idea of plussing over to Disneyland. Now, plussing is the concept that they used over in the studios to improve an idea or add upon it, whether it was a concept, short film, or even a feature-length film. The way that it worked parkside was that Imagineers would constantly be improving projects so that guests would always have something new to discover. Walt allegedly overheard a conversation between a mother and son where the mother asked her son if he wanted to ride. The son said that he'd ridden it before, so there was no reason to ride it again. Now, some accounts switched the mother and son's roles, but the outcome was the same. Walt decided that Jungle Cruise needed a new, humorous angle to keep guests engaged. So Walt turned to animator Mark Davis, one of Disney's famous nine old men, to rewrite the script and draft up some visual gags for the Jungle Cruise. Davis created the elephant bathing pool and the rhino chasing the explorers up a pole show scenes. I think the elephant bathing pool is one of the most underappreciated gags of the Jungle Cruise. Elephants bathing like people? I mean, get out of here!
Get right out of here, they don't even do that. So throughout the years, the Jungle Cruise has added numerous show elements, which include Trader Sam, the piranhas, and the recent addition of holiday theming known as the Jingle Cruise. And in 2010, the Jungle Cruise was declared an official jungle with its own ecosystem, so good job, Bill Evans. It's pretty awesome to know that Walt's vision of bringing a fantasy jungle to Anaheim resulted in a real jungle in Anaheim.
The jungle also made a major change back in 1995. With the addition of Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Forbidden Eye to the Adventureland family of attractions, a portion of the Jungle Cruise's waterway was actually rerouted to make way for this massive new attraction. Yes, the Jungle Cruise may have been shortened, but we also got a slew of new jokes about people exiting the Indiana Jones attraction. So, in my opinion, that one's kind of a wash.
Oh, and we couldn't rightfully say we covered the history of the Jungle Cruise unless we mentioned that the legendary John Lasseter, chief creative officer of Pixar, Walt Disney Animation Studios, Imagineering, and DisneyToon, was once a Jungle Cruise skipper.
He brags that it's the best job in the park, and personally, I agree.
Now, there have been some rumors floating around the internet, imagine that some other famous folks have graced the waterways of the Jungle Cruise, people like Robin Williams and Steve Martin. Sadly, these are only rumors, though Steve Martin did get his first job as a newsboy at the main gates and then worked as a magician on Main Street. The internet also says that Kevin Costner was a skipper once upon a time, which maybe explains the movie Waterworld. And Richard Nixon's White House press secretary was also a skipper.
If you enjoyed this president, his name is Richard Nixon. If you didn't, his name is Nikita Khrushchev, and this is Russia.
Throughout the years, the world-famous Jungle Cruise has remained a must-ride attraction for many Disney lovers, and I honestly think the main pull of the attraction is the nostalgia factor. The Jungle Cruise still embodies the adventure, fantasy, and wonder of the original Disneyland that Walt dreamed up over 60 years ago. Though the Jungle Cruise may look much different today than it did on opening day, one thing has remained the same: the ability for this attraction to transport guests to a place of exotic, childlike wonder. And that feeling is what will keep people coming back for another 60 years.
And that is the history of the Jungle Cruise.
Yay!
Woohoo!
The jungle not only houses great puns, but it also houses some fun trivia and points of interest as well. So why don't you follow me over to my Jungle Trivia Corner? And now it's time for Al's Jungle Trivia Corner! So, while you're in this attraction, keep a lookout for Aladdin's lamp up in the office on the second floor of the queue. Now, you've heard of hidden Mickeys, but there's actually a couple of hidden Elvises scattered throughout the park, and one of them is in the Jungle Cruise. On the backside of the giraffes in the African Veldt, you're going to see one of their spots shaped like the head of the rock and roll great Elvis Presley. Unfortunately, you'll never be able to see this from the boats because it was really just designed as a little fun thing for engineers to see as they were working on the show scenes out there. And one last little piece of trivia is, and this one's fairly well known, so I don't know if this is going to be like the holy mackerel, Eureka, we found out that piece of trivia. But when the attacking natives attack you right after you see the natives dancing in the native camp, one of them clearly, distinctly yells, "I love disco." The Jungle Cruise is also a great place to experience the fireworks. The way they light up the jungle will definitely leave you begging for more.
Speaking of fireworks, the jungle also holds some of Al's most magical memories.
Let me set the stage. The year was 2013. I'd been dating my then-girlfriend for about 6 months, but I already knew she was the gal for me. So naturally, I wanted us to get engaged at Disneyland, but I didn't quite know how to go about doing it. I thought and thought and thought, but couldn't really come up with anything. Finally, I came up with what I thought was quite the romantic idea. My girlfriend loved fireworks, and I loved the Jungle Cruise, obviously. So I was able to set up a private cruise that would take place during the fireworks. I was super nervous the whole day, but thankfully my girlfriend mistook my nervousness for elation that we were at the happiest place on Earth. I know, they kind of look the same when they come out of me. Well, the time came, and we entered onto our private boat, and our wonderful skipper took us on a magical ride through the darkened jungle, the fireworks overhead illuminating the massive palm fronds around us. As we pulled into the African Veldt, the skipper slowed the boat to a stop, and I shakily dropped to one knee, pulled out a ring that I had hidden in my camera bag, and asked my girlfriend to marry me. Thankfully, she wasted no time in saying yes, and I rode out of the Jungle Cruise with a brand new fiance. Needless to say, every time we ride the Jungle Cruise now, we can't help but get a little emotional every time we pull into the African Veldt. And that's all the time we have for this episode of The Backside of Water.
So thanks so much for listening. Please subscribe to this podcast to receive your newest episodes onto your technology device like a fancy crate of malaria tonic just coming down the jungle river.
Also, please give us some feedback on iTunes. If you love us, write us a review. If you hate us, write us a review about why you hate Harry so much.
That's true. I love hate reviews on me. They just make me laugh.
He collects them and puts them on the deep web.
It puts me on the defense. So follow us on Instagram for what is going on. Follow us on Instagram for fun companion pics. the_backside_of_water.
So until next time, as you exit, please watch your head and watch your step.
And should you happen to miss your step and hit your head, please watch your language.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.